is Greg Lancaster, and I trust that you enjoy this teaching from God's Word, equipping the saints to do the work of the church to bring God's kingdom here on earth. Enjoy.
Hey, and we're talking right now about hope, and we're continuing a conversation about the heart of Nehemiah. And just kind of going through and realizing, man, God is revealing to us a strategy to be able to, if God touches you or ma'am or sir, and says, you know, it gives you the heart of Nehemiah, and we follow this pathway of a journey towards rebuilding the church in America, rebuilding the walls. And I really believe when you look at the church, that we still never, in America, we never, all the pieces have never fully come together yet. Mm-hmm. I mean, things have happened, but there's a lot of stones that haven't been, you know what I'm saying? It's been kind of like plain.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? And so bringing all the stones together, you know, all of us, which is very pleasing, Psalms 133 to the Father, is the place of the commanded blessing of God. It's our greatest witness to the world that they're loved by God, and that's God's expectation of us. And so how can we together build the
mosaic?
Yeah, mosaic, literally a mosaic. And so we're talking about, you know, and now we're in Nehemiah chapter 4 here, and they were building and building the walls up and doing in the context of what was happening in verse 13. You know, he starts realizing these guys just don't go away. They just, the troublemakers and the people that try to stop us are going around like roaring lions trying to constantly come to these gaps. And people, when the strategy comes in and all of a sudden, you know, Nehemiah starts telling some folks, you're going to stand by the low place over here in the wall, the exposed places, and need to be responsible for this area. Some people are like, you know, I want to be in the high place. I don't want to be in the low place. Mm-hmm. You know, I want my name in the lights. I don't want to be, you know, and Jesus says, can you drink this cup? Do you really want
that's
it?
Right.
Yeah.
That's right.
And so understand that we are as strong, a chain is as strong as this weakest link. And when you're being, you have an assignment, work with it before the Lord, all, everything that's in your heart, knowing that that is so significant for whatever God has placed in that particular Nehemiah's heart, whatever God is doing and rebuilding through him or her in the context of it. And it's amazing. If you just be faithful over the few things, God will bless you with many. If you're faithful over the little things, the low things, understand that he knows he can trust you in the high things. But if you want the high things when you don't want the low things, that's pride, and you can't be in the high things because it's the low thing is already revealed the pride that's in your heart. You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. And so when you're just thankful to be in the low thing and low places and vulnerable places, and you see the significance, if you're helping even one or you're fending off those that are trying to come in, you're okay with that. Because like David said, I'm just to be a doorkeeper in the house of God, I'd just be grateful. And that's a man God chose to use to lead and protect his people. And that's the man who God chose through his lineage that his son would come through. Mm-hmm. And so that does say something in the context of humility. And then he also not only posted people, but he posted them by families. And you think about families, when you look at the church, instead of thinking about it in denominationalism and thinking about it as organizations, think about all the families that are there. You have all these different streams and families. And so, you know, you'll see that, you know, somebody says, well, you know, what are you doing? Well, I'm doing what God's called our family to do, but we have to also acknowledge what God's called your family to do. And so you're standing by that part of the kingdom and the wall being built. Mm-hmm. And we're standing by this part being built, and our other family member over here is doing it. So all the families of God, we're in the family of God, but you have cousins and nephews and all this different, you know, other families. And think of them as family because that's what they are, instead of thinking of them as a denomination, as an organization, or an independent this or a dependent that. But just understand that we're all in the kingdom of God, and God is using us differently. So we need to acknowledge and orchestrate ourselves in the context of, okay, this is what this family does. Mm-hmm. Because what happens quite often, we begin to project on other families that's not what they're called to do. This family may be called, had this great gift to be able to minister to the homeless and the hungry and the orphan, and that just takes everything that family can do, but they're very good at that, but they're taking care of that part of the wall. Mm-hmm. So instead of them saying, how come you don't minister to the orphan or the homeless or whatever, then you acknowledge what they're doing and say, that's just wonderful what you're doing. You're taking care of that part of the wall. But then what you're doing, whatever it may be, maybe teaching the truth. I mean, you got an anointed teaching word, and that, you know, that teaching's going everywhere. and it is affecting folks and setting people free. Well, the people who are have the family that's watching over the homeless and the sick of the orphan, you know, they would just acknowledge. You would say, "Hey, thank God for that teaching, because that's really helping us maintain that part of the wall, because the wall is people. It's not buildings. It's family." And that's why you want the teaching to go out everywhere, because, and that's why you want the one whose gift, the family's gifted with orphans and homeless and all that, to go out everywhere, because it's all the same kingdom. It's the same place. You see what I'm saying? So
yeah, it fits. Right.
It fits. So by families, so we start recognizing, you know, what families are called to do, and then set them in place with swords, spears, and bows. This is so important when you think about it. When you think about a sword, a spear, and a bow, you think about the word of God in regards to, that was a natural battle that they're fighting against a natural enemy because of a spiritual consequence. Today, we're fighting a spiritual enemy, winning the person, the soul of the person, to the Lord. So we got to be careful. We're fighting a spiritual battle. But the sword, a spear, and a bow, when you think about the word of God is it's a sword. I mean, you think about it. It is a sword, the sword of God. And so even though you can think about, I even have a sword right here. When you think about a sword, I don't know if you can see the sword or not, but the word of God is sharper than a double-edged sword. It's a spear. It penetrates even to the dividing, right? A bone, a marrow, thought, and a tent. And that it has power. The bow has power, the pulling back of the bow and launching it. When God's word goes forth, it accomplishes that, what it set out to do. So you don't go to the low place. You just don't go get your family focused on a vision, what you're doing. You stay in the word of God. You become entrenched in the word of God. You abide. You hide God's word in your heart. You talk to him. You hear what he's telling you to do, and you do what he says to do. I mean, that's the context of it. So you're armed now with battle. And he says, and after I looked things over, I stood up and I said to the nobles and the officials and the rest of the people, don't be afraid of them. I mean, you would wish when you said that people would not be afraid.
Right.
But when they really mean that, quite often fearful people are afraid to tell you that they're afraid. And prideful people are unaware that they're actually afraid. You know what I'm saying? They don't realize, no, it's like, no. Well,
no,
you're afraid.
Right now. Yes.
You're afraid. You're overreacting. And so don't be afraid. Don't be afraid of them. You think, my goodness, you got this contingency going on. You got people in the low places. You got families focusing on these different areas. You're saying, you arm yourself with the word of God and let the word of God penetrate you and penetrate others. That's going on. And he says, listen, don't be afraid of them. This is not happening because someone's afraid. And the enemy would love to be able to take that narrative and begin to promulgate it and say, well, you're doing all this because you're afraid of us. You're afraid of what we're going to do. You're fearful. It's like, no, we're just wise. We're just wise. We understand your intentions and what you're going to do. You know, I like what Dr. King says, I fear no man. I fear no dogs. But in the context of that, you've got to be able to say, you know, let people know, don't be afraid. This has nothing to do with fear at all. It's just wisdom, because we have not yet finished rebuilding the walls. The walls have to be rebuilt. And they're only halfway up. The caps are starting to get closed. The gates are not even up yet. Authority hasn't been established. And then he says, don't be afraid of them. Remember the Lord, who is great and awesome. Think about that. Understand this, that when God gives you the call, don't forget God gave you the call. Don't forget you didn't even know about it until he told you about it. And he is involving you in his storyline. So don't own it. Now, like you're going to write a book talking about you're the one that actually's done this thing. Remember from whence you came. Know that he's the one doing it. So you go back and you remember. You tell everybody, listen, I know all this is happening in the horizontal, but remember the vertical. This is not something we're doing, because what happens is people start taking ownership. They start liking what it looks like. They start liking what it feels like. They start liking how it's built. They start getting something from it. Then they start telling others that this is what we're doing and I like my thing. And there's, you know, all of a sudden it becomes, this identity becomes with what's being done instead of who's the one that called them to do it. And so they become fearful that they're going to lose that. And they become fearful, like, what are we going to do with that? And it's like, it's God. Don't you remember? Don't be afraid. Remember the Lord, who is great and awesome. Yes, it's good. It's happened so far. Yes, it's great what's going on. But understand, it's God that built it. It's God that called you, and it's God that will keep it. And so you have to let God keep you through all this. And then he said, remember the Lord who is great and awesome, and fight for your families. Fight for your sons and your daughters, your wives and your homes. There was a day in America that people had that mentality. They said, listen, this country is worth laying our life down for. Mm-hmm. That the original tent, to be able to worship freely and open our hearts freely and speak openly about God, and it's worth fighting for. Many people have laid down their lives for. When they knew, and they're fighting for their children and their wives and their family. When people had to stand their ground in times in the season, they knew they were fighting. But in regards to the family of God, you know, remember the Lord who was great and awesome, and fight for the family of God.
Yeah.
Fight for them. Fight for them when they're wanting to date a wolf. Fight for them when something's trying to come into the gap. Even if they totally misunderstand it, fight for them when people that are held captive by sand ballots are launching, you know, lies over the walls and all these different things are going on. Fight for them. Fight for your sons and your daughters, your wives and your homes. Yes, your natural family, of course, but also your spiritual family. Jesus said, let me tell you, because they told him when he was sitting there in a house ministering to his disciples, which I guess he had a ministry in a home, I guess, at that point, and God, and his mama and his brother came out to find him because they thought he's lost his mind. Mm-hmm. That's what they thought God's lost his mind. He gave them the ability to think, and they used it to think that he lost their mind. He lost his own mind. And he hadn't eaten in a while. And so they're knocking on the door trying to get in to rescue God, trying to rescue Jesus.
Right.
Well, let me tell you something, Nehemiah. There were people that will come and try to rescue you from the call of God on your life. They're like, you need to get out of that low walled, half walled, gapped, non gate, burnt gate, burnt stone. You know, come over here with the rest of us dead folks. You know, that's what right. are you doing? And where darkness reigns, we have no problem. You can do anything you want to do, And so he said, let me tell you who my mother and my brother. This is Jesus. Why his mama was still outside. This is Mary, mind you. And his brother, still outside. And he says, let me tell you who my family is. Mm-hmm. He said, my family is those who do the will of my Father. So if you want to know who you need to fight for, it's that one who is doing the will of the Father. And you need to fight for them in the context of the one who's not doing the will of capital F Father. They're doing the will of their small F father, Lucifer. Jesus said, yeah, you have a father, all right. Your father is a liar, and he's been a liar from the beginning. When he speaks his native language. So you're protecting the one who's doing God's will, who's in the family, from the one who's not doing God's will. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
And so you're fighting. You're not fighting just for folks in general. You're fighting for the family of God. It's very important to understand that, because you could end up fighting for somebody who's not even a friend of God.
Right.
They don't want anything to do with God while you're allowing the people of God and the lovers of God and the family of God to be destroyed by the adversary. So you do fight. You fight for them. We're going to talk more about this when we get back from the break. We're talking about Nehemiah, the heart of Nehemiah, how to rebuild the walls of the church, or rebuild the church in America. Understand the next thing they talk about in verse 15 in chapter 4, he says, you know, when our enemies heard that we were aware of their plot, the power of exposing the enemy. Understand how powerful that is. And let me tell you something. If you're abiding with God, he'll just outright tell you. He'll just tell you. He'll give you a vision. He'll dream. He'll download it to you. He'll just tell you. Mm-hmm. And pay attention. They listened. God spoke. God revealed. 10 times they were told what was happening.
Yeah.
And so what they did was they prepared. They prepared spiritually and physically for the battle. And so their enemies, when they heard that their plots and that God had frustrated their plan, frustrated it. How did they frustrate it? He frustrated it by giving them wisdom on how to prepare for it. You know, stand in the low places, arm yourself, day and night watch over, you know, stand by your families, organize. In other words, they were wisdom. And that's how, let me tell you how you can frustrate the enemy. Just do what God says. Mm-hmm. Follow Nehemiah. Quit coming up. It's like, America, please follow somebody. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Follow God and what he does. And it says, when our enemies heard that we were aware of their plot and the God had frustrated them, we all return to our work, each to our own work, and understand that when all this was coming in, people thought they couldn't even work anymore. They thought they didn't have enough strength anymore.
Wow.
But notice, it was a mindset. It was just depression, loss of vision. When the enemy comes in, all of a sudden you get your mind gets all bogged down.
Mm-hmm.
And as soon as that was all cleared up and the enemy backed off, people had the strength. They could see that they could do it, and they're back at work again. Isn't that amazing how that works?
Yeah.
Wow.
So don't throw. A matter of fact, when you do something significant, when you have a significant exertion in the kingdom of God, you know, wait 24, 48 hours before you make any judgments.
Mm.
Just whatever. Just be okay. No matter what. No yes or no for 24 hours, 48 hours. This is a good thing for those who just preach like they have nothing left on Sundays. You know, relax. Wait till Tuesday before you say anything.
Yeah.
All right.
Because the enemy's going to get you, start beating you up and all the doubt and that. And understand, no. This is going to be good. And they made it through this aspect of it. And in verse 16, and they talk about how it's set up, he says, from that day on, in other words, because we got a new strategy, this is not going to let up. Sanballat and these, you know, guys are just going to continue to be used by the adversary to do this. So, and this is what happens. This is what happens. You know, it's been a while now. I'm sure Sanballat's a good man now.
Oh.
I'm sure he's a good man. You know, he's not going to plot evil like he used to anymore, right? And, you know, and it's like, are you Nehemiah, right? If you're not Nehemiah, God is not leaving that with you. You don't have to work figure that out, which means ever how it was laid down in the original state, that's how it is until Nehemiah changes it. Because God's speaking to Nehemiah about that.
Give your brain a rest. That's not something for you to be
thinking
about right
now. That's not something
that
you're going to do. You know, and it's so quick. So people, because people don't write things down, because they don't document things, because they don't put remembrances up, that they're easily misled by forgetting. This is the one that was trying to kill God's folks. That's the reason why you don't want to give the Palestinians a lay in there, you know?
Hello.
And so from that day on, then the new strategy, they had put half of the men did the work while the other half were equipped with spears, shields, bows, and armor. This is so important when you think about equipped. What does equipped mean for us? Equipped means the full revelation of the armor of God. When he talks about it in Ephesians chapter 6, verse 10, you don't just go naked to battle. You don't just go out there, well, I got my helmet of salvation. I hope this thing's work. What do you want me to do? Get dressed.
Right.
Get dressed. And he says, finally, in Ephesians chapter 6, verse 12, he says, finally, be strong in the Lord. And I could hear Nehemiah almost just projecting this over everybody. Listen, don't remember God. Remember what he's done. He's dressing everybody for battle, and he's also dressing them for work at the same time. Some people say, I just want to go fight things. Somebody else says, I want to build things. And we're going to find out it's something that has to be done simultaneously. So he says, finally, in Ephesians, Paul's speaking to the church, and this is like Nehemiah speaking to all of us in building the walls. Be strong in the Lord and the power of his might. Put on the full armor of God. But think about it. That's what he's saying. Like, get your armor on. Get your spears and your bow. Put on the full armor of God so that you can stand your ground against Sanballat. So you can stand your ground against those who are coming against Jerusalem. So you can stand your ground against the devil's schemes. This is the devil's schemes coming against Jerusalem. They're going to continue to come. Don't think they're just going to go away. They're going back and they're plotting and planning to do more stuff. And he says, for our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against authorities, against the powers of this dark world, and against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly realm. That's why we can pray for the people, because they're being held captive by Satan to do his will. And the best way to defeat Satan is to win them into the kingdom and the family of God. So he tells us right up front, we're not wrestling against physical things, it's spiritual things. And that's why it's so important. God loves that person who's hating on you. And as you start hating on them, you're joining in with the same thing that's going on. He says, therefore, put on the full armor of God. And that's what he's talking about. Put people, the armor on them. Put on the full armor of God so that you, on the day of evil, when the day of evil comes, so it's going to come again and again and again, you may be able to stand your ground, whether it's a low place or a high place, whether it's a gap or a door or a gate. And after you have done everything to do, stand firm then, with the belt of truth buckled around your waist and with the breastplate of righteousness in place and with your feet fitted with the readiness that comes from the gospel of peace. You can have peace in the midst of all this. In addition to all this, take up the shield of faith, your confidence and surety in the call and the direction, the plan of God that he has laid out to rebuild the walls of the church. Take up the shield of faith with which you can extinguish and annihilate all the flaming arrows of Sanballat, of Satan, of Lucifer, of the evil one. And then take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God, and begin to do spiritual battle and to defend your place. Defend the wall. Fight for the family of God. Fight. Fight. From the time of John the Baptist until now, the kingdom of God has been forcefully advancing, and it's forceful men that lay hold of it. I'm talking about a spiritual battle, not a physical battle. In the physicalness of the thing, we love them and we want them to know Jesus as their Lord and Savior. And the best way to defeat Satan is to win them to Jesus Christ. Go tell them. Go tell your haters, the ones that they're using you, the ones that are speaking abusively against you, that God loves them. God's got a plan for their life. And realize they very well make a decision to join the family of God. We're going to talk more about the heart of Nehemiah, a strategy to rebuild the church in America. Stay tuned. Don't forget, 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, VFN Radio, VFN TV, and Christian Television Network.
If you haven't yet met Father God through his son, Jesus Christ, let me introduce you to him at meetmyfather.org. You've got to meet him. For more teachings like this from myself, Greg Lancaster, and others, go to VFNTV.com. You can also download the VFN TV app by searching your mobile phone app store or by going to VFNTV.com. And you'll be able to join us at VFN TV and the daily VFN radio program, where we're seeking to educate ourselves on what is taking place in today's world, to illuminate it with God's perspective from his word, and inspire you in your daily walk with the Lord and to activate you in your destiny with God that he's called you to. For more information, go to VFNTV.com. VFN TV and the daily VFN radio program is brought to you by our partners of Greg Lancaster Ministries at greglancasterministries.org.